Hello. How are you? Thank you for coming back.
I'm your host. You're listening to Legend, Lore, and More. All right, so today we're going to talk about a topic that's okay. So when I was a kid, my biological mother was married to this guy, and he used to scare me with this Chief Big Bear, to be exact. And I was doing research for, podcast episodes, like as I should. And I found out the guy's real, and everything that I had been told is a lie. So, bum bum bum, you get to come on the journey with me whenever I figure out what this guy did and what this guy didn't do. So, anyways, Big Bear. He's a Plains Cree chief, born near Fort Carlton, died January 17th, 1888, on the Little Pine Reserve. He is best known for his refusal to sign the Treaty 6 in 1876, and for his band's involvement in violent conflicts associated with the 1885 Northwest Resistance. Excuse me, sorry, that was disgusting. The Cree chief was concerned with the impossible treaty conditions that seemed to ensure basically imminent poverty and the destruction of people, his people's way. And it has an image on here, but whatever. Okay, so his early life consisted of not very much is like known about his early years, but like stuff about his father and whatnot. Okay, so his father's name was Black Powder, and he was a minor chief of the Ujabba Cree Band. Big Bear grew up with a Plain Cree band in Saskatchewan and considered himself Cree. They hunted buffalo in the summer and lived along the North Saskatchewan River in the winter. Okay. He received his name, Big Bear, after he had a vision of the spirit Big Bear. The bear spirit, basically, and the most sacred spirit for the Cree. In his power bundle, a sacred and secret bundle that is said to contain protection from the person to whom it belongs, had a bear paw, which he wore around his neck during times of danger to provide him with courage and strength. Okay? In 1865, Big Bear emerged as headman of a small band of Cree people near Fort Pitt, consisting mostly of extended family members. Okay, the title is Battle at Belly River, 1870. In October 1870, Big Bear and his band took part in a battle between the Plain Cree and their long-standing enemy, the Blackfoot, at Belly River near Alberta, basically. It was the last battle fought between First Nations on the prairie of what is now Canada. The decades followed would bring increased white settlements, police and government persistence, and the disappearance of buffalo, on which the Cree and economy depleted. Sorry, I had to take a drink. Okay, is the next title is Leadership in 1870. Missionary and traders describe Big Bear as an independent spirit who did not like taking direction from outsiders, such as government officials or indigenous leaders. For instance, in 1873, Big Bear disputed with Gabriel Dumont after DeMont made a suggestion about how to conduct a summer buffalo hunt in 1874. Big Bear and his band refused to accept government presents of tea and tobacco, which offered on the Crown's behalf by Hudson Bay Company trader William McKay, who had come to tell the Plain Cree that the Northwest Mountain Police, NWMP, would be coming to the plains. Sorry, lost my place. Would be coming to the plains. Big Bear believed that these presents were actually bribes meant to facilitate future treaty negotiations. And basically, and it says like it has like C numbered treaties beside of it, talking about like this was like he like I think he refused like six treaties before everything, okay? And then it goes on to say, similar in 1875, Big Bear was hesitant and dismissive of Reverend George Millward McDougall. That is a name. Wow. I want one of those. I want a name like that. The government agent sent to tell the plain Indonesian people that treaty commissioners were coming the following year, telling him, "We want no bait. Let your chief come like men and talk with us." Huh. During his visit to the plains in 1874, McKay reported that Big Bear was now the chief of the band, of a band consisting of about 65 lodges or 520 people. In comparison, another prominent Cree chief in the area, Sweetgrass, only had about 56 followers. Okay, so basically what I'm looking at now is it's Treaty 6 and its impact, 1876 and 82. Okay, there's a gap from basically where Saskatchewan is, and if you look at the Canadian map, Saskatchewan, the name Saskatchewan, it literally is like a box around it. So that's what was more or less taken from them. Okay, so let me get into why I'm doing this episode. This episode means a lot to me because the person that used to scare me with this guy is no longer like a part of our like family. So for me, this episode means a lot, and I'm trying to pull as much energy and stuff out of it as possible. So when I was a kid, he used to scare me with this guy. He'd be like, "Oh, Chief Big Bear is going to come get you." And I think he honestly thought that Chief Big Bear wasn't a real person, but he is. So anyways, Chief Big Bear for him, to me, was a Kentucky Indian that was Blackfoot, not Cree, Blackfoot, that more or less rebelled against all kinds of people, and in the last rebellion he had his head chopped off. And his body basically roamed the upper area of Perry County, Kentucky. Or Hazard, as some people may know. That's where most of my family comes from. Okay. But, so, that was the reason why. So, let's get back into the Lands of Treaty 6, is the title of this one. In August 1876, Lieutenant Governor of the Northwest Territories, Alexander Morris, went to Fort Carleton to negotiate Treaty 6 with the Indonesian people of Saskatchewan. After the treaty had been signed there, Morris and the other commissioners traveled to Fort Pitt in September near Mistakawa, home to gain the Addison's additional, basically it's additional signatures. So they were trying to get Big Bear's signature, which, yeah, that's a lot of drama. Of the Indonesian people, there were basically, he was trying to get the rest of the Indonesian people. Big Bear was away at the time and therefore did not attempt to negotiate. The treaty was signed in his absence. Wow. When Big Bear returned home, he was surprised and frustrated that the other chiefs had signed the treaty without consulting him. Well, he was away, so they couldn't really do anything. Although he was concerned with the disappearance of buffalo and the increasing numbers of European settlers, Big Bear believed that the treaty conditions only seemed to ensure poverty, basically imminent poverty again, and the destruction of the people's way of life. Okay, he's not wrong. He's not wrong because at this time, the European settlers that were coming in, man, they were ruthless. And the other chiefs tried to convince him otherwise, telling him that this was a just and necessary treaty, and that in his signing it would guarantee economy and the others protection for his people. Basically, guarantee economic and other protections for his people. Okay, so yeah, I don't know. Still, Big Bear refused to sign the treaty. He compared it to a rope around our necks, likely referring to the fact that the treaty would strangle their freedom and limit their control over Indonesian land, resources, and way of life. Okay. Big Bear's defiance attracted independent warriors to his band from 1878 and 9. His influence among the Cree rose. In October 1878, Big Bear and his allies prevented government agents from surveying their unceded land. The surveyors called for the support of the NWMP, according to the historian Hugh Dempsey, Colonel, whatever that is. That's a big name, another one. He threatened arrest if the Cree prevented the surveyor's work. The Cree complied and the work continued. Okay, basically, I'm starting to feel like they're a lot of bark than bite, you know? The winter of 1879 was particularly different for Big Bear and his people. The disappearance of buffalo brought terrible hunger. Big Bear still refused to sign Treaty 6, instead choosing to relocate to Montana, where he and some other Indonesian people hunted the last of the buffalo. Upon his return to Canada in 1882, Big Bear and his band tried to find other food sources such as fish at Cypress Lake in Saskatchewan, but this was not enough to sustain his band of approximately 250 people. In order to prevent their starvation, Big Bear signed Treaty 6 on December 8th, 1882. All right, so he finally gave in after realizing that his back was against the wall and he was in between a rock and a hard place. He did what was necessary. But yeah, so now you guys get to like understand why I made this episode, and I don't even know what to say. Like the difference in like between this what actually happened and what I was told, it's completely different. It's giving me a headache. And it's like, I don't even know what to say. But anyways, thank you guys for coming back. I love you, and I hope you come back next time. See you later. Have a good day. Bye.